Good to be here with you today, and just want to say thank you for all the ways that you all have given us help, especially since my surgery, and just appreciate that, and thanks for the invitation to be here today. Just want to, as we come to Easter, we just praise God for Easter. That's the title we're going to be looking at today. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll be looking at New King James Translation today. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 20. Stand with me as we read. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Father, we thank you that you are the God of peace. Thank you, Lord, for the power that you showed us in raising Jesus from the grave. Thank you, Father, for the way that we see you work each day. Thank you, Father, for being available to help us when we call upon you, that you're always there to answer prayer. Father, I pray for you to bless this service. Help each of us to trust you completely. Help us to be willing to do the things that you want us to do individually, that you want this church to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Without Easter, there would be no Christianity. Without Easter, there would be no hope to go to heaven. Without Easter, there would be no way of escape from hell. Without Easter, there would be no purpose for the ministry and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Without Easter, there would be no reason for us to be here today. But praise God, there is Easter, meaning that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, meaning that death couldn't hold him, meaning that Satan couldn't keep him in his grave. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter, verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of saints. We read in verse 20 here in 13th chapter of Hebrews, the God of peace. God is a God of peace. He's not the God of confusion. When there is confusion or chaos in your lives individually, in your family, in your place of business, when there's confusion in your neighborhood, when there's confusion in your country, when there's confusion in the church, when there's confusion anywhere, God is not the author of that. God is the author of peace. By raising Jesus Christ from the grave, he came to give us peace. He came to give us peace of knowing that when we believe upon Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're saved to spend eternity with God in heaven. God is the author of peace in individual lives. He's the author of peace throughout every area of our lives. We think about what's going on in our nation. You can't turn on a radio or television or look at any kind of newscast without hearing about the unrest, the confusion, the chaos that's going on. God didn't send that. God's not the author of chaos or confusion. God's the author of peace. Thus, we can all come together and minister to one another, knowing that we have the peace of God. The peace of God which passes all understanding. The God of Easter definitely offers peace to each and every one of us. If there's confusion in your life, there's chaos in your life, trust God. Trust Him. Let Him give you peace. Let Him give you hope. Let Him give you encouragement. Let Him give you the help that's needed in every area of your life. You know, The purpose of every church is to worship the God of peace as we share the peace with other individuals. Praise God for that peace that He offers. You know, a good shepherd cares for his flock. A good shepherd cares for each one of his flock. Notice you're here in verse 20 that the great shepherd of the sheep is speaking here, God speaking of, that He raised Jesus, that great shepherd. You know, a good shepherd is concerned about the flock's health. A good shepherd makes sure they have access to good food and water and plenty of, you know, every needed nutrition. A good shepherd makes sure that they have access to everything they need, as well as protection from the weather and protection from wild animals. Well, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, cares for us. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, will provide for all of our needs. When we call upon Him, He'll give us peace in the middle of turmoil. He'll give us hope in our hopeless condition. He'll give us all the help that we do need. He forgives sin as well as offers peace. He teaches us to have joy in every circumstance. He gives wisdom when we ask Him. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is available to us. You know, He's not the God up yonder, but He's right here with us. When we believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He moves in to live within our hearts and within our lives. He chose to be crucified to pay our sin debt. Jesus didn't go to the cross for anything He did, but it's for what we did, for our sin, for our rebellion against God, for our disobedience. He gave Himself. He shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's no salvation. But Jesus shed His blood that we might have life everlasting. He shed His blood as an atonement for our sin. We took the Lord's Supper a few minutes ago. That drink that we took is a reminder to us of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us individually. For each of us individually. He died for you and for me. He's willing to forgive and to save every person. And He will save everyone who calls upon Him. Jesus Christ loves each of us so much that He was willing to go to that cross, laying His life down for you and for me. Praise God, He was raised from His grave. Praise God, He lives today and He's going to continue to live. Praise God that He paid the sin debt for you and for me by that crucifixion. And then He was raised that we might live forever with Him in heaven. John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Some of you may be thinking, well, if God knows just half of what I've done, He wouldn't be willing to forgive me. He wouldn't love me. But it doesn't matter how terrible your life may be. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you're living in. It doesn't matter how much you've rebelled against Him. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, that is, He loved every one of us, that whosoever believeth on Him, that anybody, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your lifestyle, if you believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll be saved from heaven and saved to spend eternity with God. You'll be saved from hell. Praise God for His great love. Praise God for that mighty power of being able to raise Jesus from the grave. God's purpose in the crucifixion and resurrection was all about the individual salvation of people. Now, people aren't saved multitudes at a time. It's individuals. Maybe a large group of individuals sometime, but it's individuals who God, Jesus died for. It's individuals who God saves. He saves each one who will call upon Him, each one who will believe upon Him. That's the whole purpose of Easter. God wants us to be with Him in heaven forever. So we sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. He raised Jesus from His grave. Praise God for what He's done. The power of a living God has been evident ever since the creation of this world. You know, God gave us life. And since then, He's been showing us His power in so many ways. It's a marvelous power that our Lord shows in spite of our rebellion against Him. Just think about the power that God showed in the creation. You know, we can think about all the different things. We look around about us, there's farmland, there's hills, and there's valleys, and there's mountains, and there's oceans, there's rocky ground, there's desert. There's all types of ground in this world that God created. But even more, we can look up in the sky and we can see the sun, the moon, the stars. Sun is 93 million miles from us. And we can see it, and yet that's not nearly the end of God's creation. But yet the sun, God placed it 93 million miles away. He put it in just the exact spot it needed to be. If it was closer, we'd burn up. If it was farther away, we'd freeze. God knew what He was doing. What great and marvelous power we see. It's that same power, that same God who raised Jesus Christ from His grave. What a wonderful power we see in the living God. You know, we think about God in creating the plant and animal life, and we must stand amazed at how He did it. We stand amazed at seeing, you know, everything's looked dead here for a few months. But now, all at once, people are mowing yards. The pastures are growing. Now, we see new calves out in the field. The leaves on the trees are beginning to come out. God created this world in a mighty way. And we see His power each day as we look out upon the world. You see the flowers beginning to bloom. Won't be long till we see the gardens growing rapidly and even some early harvest from them. How great power God has. I want to share with you some other power that God has to help us to understand that He has power to raise Jesus from the grave. It's not just something that Jesus' body was stolen. That didn't happen. God raised Him from the grave. Over in Joshua chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. Here we find God's power as the Israelites and Amorites were at war. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Did you catch that? God was fighting for Israel. He sent large hailstones and He killed more of the Amalekites than the Israelites killed with the sword. God was in charge. God was doing battle for them. We continue as looking at the Scripture here. We understand that God did more. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." What a prayer that was. Sun, stand still. And the moon also stand still. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. God was fighting for Israel. Not just in throwing down the hailstones that killed more than the Israelites killed with the sword, but when Joshua prayed, the sun stood still. Sun stopped in the sky. It didn't go down for almost a whole day, giving the Israelites more daylight to win the battle, to defeat their enemy. The power of God, how great it is. Those large hailstones and stopping the sun in the sky. I don't know how he did it. I can't guess how he did it. But by God's power and God's mercy, he was able to answer prayer. Over in 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning at verse 8, we see here God answering the prayer of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had been told by Isaiah that you're going to die. Hezekiah said to God sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah after Hezekiah prayed, and Isaiah told him then, you're going to live another 15 years. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it's an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. So here we see the power of God. God, who had stopped the sun in the sky at one time for almost a whole day, now he moves the sun backwards. Everybody had to set their sundials backwards. The power of God, the might of God. Never doubt God, but trust him. Have faith in him. That same God raised Jesus from his grave. You and I can't raise somebody from the grave. You and I can't cast down large hailstones on our enemies. You and I can't stop the sun in the sky. You and I can't move the sun backwards. You and I can't create the world. But we can trust a God who does. We can believe upon him. We can know that on this Easter morning we're here because Jesus Christ is alive. Because Jesus, who had been dead, was raised from his grave. Praise God for what he's done. You know, the main purpose of Easter is not candy. Main purpose of Easter is not new clothes. The main purpose of Easter is not the Easter bunny. The whole purpose of Easter is Jesus Christ being raised from his grave. The power of God raising him to give us peace, to give us hope, to give us encouragement, to give us a promise of life everlasting through belief upon his name. In a message titled The Power of the Resurrection, Scottish minister James Stewart said, for the power that was strong enough to get Jesus out of the grave, mighty enough to shatter and confound the whole hideous demonic alliance of evil, creative enough to smite death with resurrection, if this power is in action still, why then, you and I can lift up our heads, knowing that and rejoicing that God is in the field when He is most invisible. God is with us. He may be invisible, but He is with us. He may be invisible, but we know His power. He may be invisible, but we know we can pray and He'll hear our prayers and He'll answer our prayers. God is so good. God is so marvelous. God is so wonderful. The God of peace has power to help you in whatever circumstances that you're facing today. As He was strong enough to raise Jesus to life, mighty enough to conquer Satan, creative enough to overcome death and resurrection, we can know that His power is still alive. We can know that His power is available to each of us. Even though He is invisible, we know we can call upon Him. We can pray and He'll hear our prayers and He'll answer us. He has the power to comfort those in sorrow, to encourage the discouraged, and to help all who are hurting. And praise God, to forgive sinners, to forgive each of us when we repent and call upon Him. He proved to all of us through His crucifixion and through so many different ways of expressing power that He wants to give us peace and that His power is available. Back again to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. We see the great power of God here and the love of God and the peace of God. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace raised Jesus from the grave to give you peace in your life. Not turmoil, not confusion, but to give you peace, to give you hope, and He's got power to do it. This morning, if you've not yet believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to call upon Him. I encourage you to trust Him as we sing an invitation hymn here in a minute. Come and I'll help you in committing your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe there's some other decision you need to make or some prayer request that you have. Come and I'll pray with you. Father in heaven, You know the needs of each one of us. We know that You care about individuals as a whole. When You see a multitude of people, You don't just see the multitude. You see each of us individually. I pray, Father, that You'll look upon each individual here today, for each one of us to trust You, to call upon You. Where there is a need today, help us to believe You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.